This is Commissioner Kevin Kramer along with Commissioners Tony Clark and Brian Kalk all in attendance. And we have a fairly light agenda this morning, but important stuff. So welcome, and invite opening comments from my colleagues.
Just good morning and welcome.
Good morning and welcome, and thanks for coming.
Very good. That I'd move passage of the items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And on to the regular agenda. KC1, there was a late addition to the agenda that I reluctantly allowed Pat to put on. It is. I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the application of Hess Corporation for a certificate of site compatibility for the Tioga Gas Plant in Williams County, North Dakota, case number PU 10120.
Second.
This, of course, is the a plant well known to all North Dakotans, I think, or at least those that have been following energy development for some time. The Tioga Gas Processing Facility has been in operation since 1954 in Tioga. They've had a processing capacity of about 120 million cubic feet per day. This, of course, 1954 was over 20 years previous to the siting laws at the time, or it's the siting laws we've been operating on since 1975. What Hess proposes to do is expand their capacity from 120 million cubic feet per day to 250 million cubic feet per day, of course, meeting the growing demand created by more and more production in the Bakken. And so we're encouraged by that. In addition to expanding it by over double, I guess it's capacity, they also need to add some property to the facility. So it includes a purchase of 21 additional acres east of the plant, which the company purchased from the Tesoro Corporation. And they want to get to construction as soon as possible, which is why it's come up rather quickly and we put it on the agenda rather hastily. However, all of the due diligence by our staff has been done to deem the application complete. In addition to it being larger, part of the process is to actually change the process, how the process works. It's interesting, I think, to note that within the context of this more than doubling of the Hess plant is the fact that there's been an announcement of a plant by One Oak at Watford City or near Watford City. This expansion at the Hess plant is expected to cost about $325 million. The One Oak facility is expected to require capital of somewhere between $450 and $470 million. In addition to that, of course, we've recently seen the online of some 80 million cubic feet of raw gas capacity that EOG is able to get to the Alliance pipeline that runs through the state of North Dakota into the markets in the industrial Midwest, beginning at a on-ramp at Towner, North Dakota. So all of a sudden, there's a lot of need and a lot of use, and now we're seeing a tremendous response that adds value to North Dakota's energy play in the Bakken. So everything seems to be in order, and we have the order today also includes a notice of opportunity or notice of hearing. There will be a hearing held on August 30th, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Tioga City Hall for interested parties. We look forward to that opportunity, even though it is the week that I have slated for vacation and preparation for my daughter's wedding. But we will do it. We'll do it anyway.
And we'll want to get married in Tioga?
She considered Medora.
Very well.
Everything's in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
That ends items in my portfolio, Commissioner Clark.
Thank you. Item TC1, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, issuing certificate of site compatibility number 16 to Baldwin Wind, LLC, authorizing construction of its proposed 102.4-megawatt Baldwin Wind Energy Center in Burley County, North Dakota, case number PU09668.
Second.
This is related to the proposed Baldwin Wind Energy Center, 102-megawatt proposed project that's being developed by NextEra Energy. It's proposed for northern Burley County. The project As I said, has a nameplate generating capacity of 102.4 megawatts. That's 64 turbines. It's 1.6 megawatts per turbine. Now, if you assume a net capacity factor of 45%, the projected average annual output of this wind farm would be 197,100 megawatt hours per year. As far as the construction costs of this project, they are expected to be approximately $200 million in costs, and the construction timeline is expected to take about 6 months. This project has a significant amount of oversight from a number of different agencies at different levels of government. Of course, we have the state siting process where we've looked at the state siting criteria, which it appears to have met, the cultural resource criteria, which it appears to have met. And with this one in particular, there was a good deal of discussion regarding wetlands and wildlife issues. The reason for that is the Baldwin Wind Energy Center is proposed to be in a fairly close proximity to the migration corridor of the Whooping Crane, and so the developers have had significant input with both North Dakota Game and Fish and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Now, neither agency objected to the construction of the project. Terry Ellsworth, who's a biologist here in Bismarck with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, did testify, and it was evident from the testimony that had been developed at our hearing that NextEra has taken significant amount of dialogue into consideration with regard to this particular wind farm, and so that doesn't appear to be a deal breaker in this case. The other thing that will be going on is a result of the, as I said, multiple layers of government that are involved with this. Because the Baldwin Wind Energy Center is interconnecting with Western Area Power Administration, or WAPA, their transmission line. WAPA is an agency of the federal government. They operate the dams on the Missouri River. Because it's an interconnection with a federal facility like that, there is an environmental assessment in compliance with the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, that's being done as well in regards to this. Beyond that, of course, the things the commission always takes into consideration, things like noise and flicker, appropriate setbacks, so on and so forth, all appear to meet the standards that we've set over the years and in various cases. And so this proposed order would approve the Baldwin Wind Energy Center.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
TC2, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-10-291 granting the request of Gavilon Grain LLC, Omaha, Nebraska, to operate its grain warehouse referred to as Jamestown East, North Dakota, as a facility-based grain buyer.
Second.
They currently operate two grain warehouses under one facility-based grain buyer license at Jamestown. The commission has recently become aware that these facilities are being operated independent of each other, and so we notified Gavilon Grain that they must maintain separate licenses as provided in state law.
All in favor?
Aye.
TC3, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-10-379 canceling facility-based grain buyer license number 2035 issued to CHS, Inc., St. Paul, Minnesota, at the Coteau, North Dakota location, and ordering that business at Coteau, North Dakota is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
For some time, this facility has been operated under a facility-based grain buyer license. The facility is no longer wanted, and it has been closed.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio.
Thank you. Commissioner Polk.
Good morning. Item BK1. I move the commission issue a notice of filing, notice of informal hearing, and notice of opportunity for hearing in the joint application of Otter Tail Power Company and McLean Electric Cooperative Incorporated for approval of an electric service area agreement and resulting issuance of a certificate of public convenience and necessity to establish service areas and designate service locations to be served by Otter Tail and McLean Electric around the city of Garrison, North Dakota, case numbers PU10334 and PU10417.
Second.
On June 29th of this year, McLean Electric and Otter Tail Power filed a joint application for approval of a service area agreement to establish service areas and designate service locations to be served by McLean Electric and Otter Tail around the city of Garrison. Otter Tail further requests to be issued a certificate of public convenience necessity, authorizing it to extend services to locations within the Otter Tail service area set forth in the agreement. The issues to be considered, whether this complies with all appropriate parts of North Dakota law. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by September 3rd, 2010. And if we need a hearing, it will be September 8th, 2010 at 1:30. It should also be noted, too, that the City Council has signed on to this agreement of Garrison.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item BK2. I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for comment in the application for approval of an interconnection agreement amendment negotiated between Turtle Mountain Communications, Inc. and Mid-Continent Communications, case number PU10387.
Second.
On July 8th of this year, Turtle Mountain Communications entered into an interconnection agreement with Mid-Continent. The agreement sets forth terms and conditions in which Turtle Mountain will provide interconnection, number portability, services, and wholesale services resale to Mid-Continent in the areas of Bisbee, Dunseith, and Willow City. Typically, we would post this to our website, but the companies, we'd post it there for 90 days, but typically, but in this case, the company would like to do it quicker than 90 days, so therefore, any comments need to be filed by the Commission on August 26th if there's any concerns, and then we'll decide then if we need a hearing or we'll just go into effect.
All in favor?
Aye.
And that concludes the items in my portfolio.
Very good. There are a number of announcements or meetings and hearings and things coming up between now and our next regularly scheduled meeting, which is July 28th, starting, of course, this afternoon with a whole bunch of formal hearings on rules. It's more routine, perhaps, than a lot of things, but there are a lot of rule changes that need to be heard, and so we'll be doing that this afternoon beginning at 1:30. Of course, Friday we head up to Berthold for a formal hearing on an Enbridge pipeline expansion or siting application. It's the beginning of the process of reversing that portal line and being able to deliver more Bakken crude into eastern markets. Monday, is this still on the Riley Brothers Construction and NDDOT Damage Prevention Enforcement hearing at 9 a.m. And then July 22nd, we have a work session on the Otter Tail and NSP Advanced Determination of Prudence for the CapEx 2020, which should be an interesting work session. It's been some time since we've had the formal hearing on the settlement agreement, I guess. So we'll have an opportunity to discuss that with among ourselves and with our staff. Any other announcements? I think we're getting. Okay. Are there any questions?
For the Burley County wind plant, you were talking about the environmental assessments for the federal government. Are those still going on?
I believe they are. Have they, Jerry, do we know, have they received final, they'll receive what's known as a FONSI, a finding of no significant impact.
They are expecting it any day.
Okay. Of course, right, the project would not move forward without those kinds of things, so there's a number of different things they need to get, ours being one of them, but this being another.
Our orders, of course, are always contingent on all of the other requirements from other jurisdictions, including the federal government. Well, they are. That's, I call it a legacy plant. I mean, you know, gas and oil was in North Dakota even before the Bakken was discovered, or at least the technology was developed to crack it. And at that time, Amerada Hess in the 50s was very bullish on North Dakota, and they built this plant at Tioga that since 1954 has been processing about 120 million cubic feet per day. And now this is an expansion which will more than double that capacity. Proposed expansion.
But then if people have a problem with that, they can show up August 30th.
That's right. Yeah.
Or if they support it, they can show up August 30th.
Or if they support it.
Two kinds of people show up at hearings. One type of person that shows up at citing hearings are Protestants. They're there to try to stop it or raise some concern, change it. And then there are those, which is usually the case, who show up to make sure that three of us don't screw up a good deal. So I don't know who will show up in Tioga.
With the Turtle Mountain thing, I guess that's just, does that make it so that Mid-Continent can serve Turtle Mountain?
It means that they can both compete in the same area. Right now, Turtle Mountain is competing, is the only provider in those areas, and this agreement sets forth conditions that Mid-Continent can also serve those areas. So it sets up good competition, but there's some rules in there about rural exemptions that if Turtle Mountain doesn't want to let them in there, then they can come in front of us and we decide. But in this case, they've worked it out themselves. They set forth an agreement. They filed it. Now if no one has any objections to it, it'll go into effect.
Go ahead.
I suspect in this case probably what was at play is as Brian indicated, rural carriers have an exemption in the Federal Act where they don't have to be in direct competition with other providers unless there are certain conditions met. One is a state commission can terminate their exemption, in which case they would have to interconnect and face full competition. The other is if they start getting into the cable business, cable TV business, then all bets are off and other providers can come in and compete against them in the telephone business. My guess is that something was worked out in relation to how, you know, each was competing in the marketplace because we're not going to be moving to a full hearing on this matter, which is what would have happened.
It did begin, though, didn't it, as a contested case?
It began as a contested case, and Mid-Continent came asking to, I believe, terminate the rural exemption.
Sure, and that was one of our consent items was we withdrew the hearing.
That's right.
Yeah. Rebecca, if I could just throw out a thought, too, on jumping back a little bit about you're talking about the HESC hearing up in Tioga. There is something significant about that, I think, that natural gas for many years has been being flared off, but now there's a huge commitment to collect that gas, and I see that everybody's talking about all the great oil and wind in North Dakota, but I think natural gas is going to become more and more important in North Dakota and nationally, and Hess is just trying to get ahead of that demand. I think this is a big, big step forward for the state.
It's been very encouraging to see the companies invest in the gathering systems and the both transmission as well as processing facilities to utilize what is really still a very precious commodity, as abundant as it has become in recent years with new discoveries of especially shale formations like the Barnett in Texas and of course our own Bakken and others, it is still nonetheless a finite and precious commodity.
With the wind farm, when can they start constructing as soon as this is signed?
They need to get all appropriate permits. So while this clears this particular hurdle, as Kevin indicated, our orders are always contingent on them getting everything else done that they need to have done, including the finding of no significant impact on the environmental assessment. They have indicated that they would like to begin constructing as soon as they can after they get all those. But once this is signed, they still would not be able to turn dirt right away.
Their ability to access and take advantage of the 30% federal rebate, I always call it a rebate, but the federal, you know, incentive tax credit requires them to begin construction this year. So no question they'll do everything they can to get that started, if not finished.
And they just have the Ponzi, or do they have other stuff?
I have to look. I can't remember if there was any other pending.
That was the big one I recall for us. That the other ones we'd already seen, the Fish and Wildlife Service. It was just, I would think that when the finding no significant impact is issued, that's the most difficult, quite honestly, what they need to get from this point forward.
Yeah. Do you recall, Jerry, were there other permits that were needed?
I think they have everything else major permit wise. There may be a couple of minor things that would not stop them from shooting construction.
So is there anything else like
Well, what's the status of each of the townships? I mean, the have they all received approval, Jerry? In
My understanding at this point is they don't have a permit from Croc Township yet, but they have no turbines in Croc Township except for alternate.
Right.
I mean, Rebecca, to answer your question, I mean that individual citizens can always appeal any decision to the commission. I mean, we hold hearings, we set up a record, we base our decision on the record, we do due diligence to cover all the facts, and we make decisions. And so, but, I mean, there's always a time where someone wants to appeal it, they can. And we have some people have done that. Not particularly wind hearings that I'm aware of, but different other decisions the commission makes. That's what we're so adamant about. You know, like last night, we had the public input session. We get people's input. Then we have the formal hearing. We get look at the facts, make decisions based on the record. And we hope the decisions we make are the right ones and they can withstand any type of scrutiny.
That's all I got.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll recess for a few minutes while we sign orders, and we have a rather long admin agenda, I noticed.